tuned in to the internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board from AboveTopSecret.com. This is ATS. ATS Mix.
Government conspiracies, government cover-ups, you know, political scandals. People are taking the time to research it, look into it.
And that's another area, I think, where we stand out is that we embrace discussion of everything and don't necessarily find one topic.
Emism, if you will, of AboveTopSecret.com. If nothing else, we're getting a whole lot of people interested in the questions.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com starts now.
Well, Dave, I haven't had a chance to ask you anytime soon, so I guess now is as good a time as any. A couple of episodes ago, you were mentioning about you having to build an ark there in Dallas because of all the rain you were getting. So I'd kind of like to know, could you give us an update of how that project's come along? Is it still raining cats and dogs there?
Wow, the project really has gone down the tubes. It really sucks, John. Uh-oh. I'll tell you why. Because miraculously, as the rain came, I guess through divine intervention or whatever, it all left. And now we've got sunny skies. Everything's hunky-dory. And I'm screwed big time because I got all these friggin' animals. You know, the food alone is killing me. You know, the tigers are eating like a couple of $100 a day. You know, the elephants aren't no piece of cake. They're drinking all the water out of my swimming pool. You know, and I mean the monkeys are crapping everywhere, and I mean the camels aren't exactly a joy to be around with all their all their noises, you know.
Sure.
And I thought the mockingbirds were really giving me problems, but boy, I'm telling you, when you get like 70 or 80 pair of animals, I'm talking about 160 total animals, male and female, it makes a lot of noise.
Sure. And, what about the house? Because I know that you were using parts of the house to build the ark.
Yes, I was, and I'm telling you, If Bunny wasn't on the coast right now with the family.
Now, who's Bunny?
My wife, Bunny Rabbit. She wasn't on the coast, I would really be screwed because, and I don't mean that in an offensive way, folks. I'm talking about screwed like the kind of screwed where you get a 2x4 and you beat the living crap out of somebody. That's the screwed I mean. Because I use actually part of our entire house. The west side of our house now is just nothing but framing because I had to use the wood to make my little ark. And John, there's another downside to this. I mean, you know, I don't know if I want to admit this on the air, but I guess I will. I mean, you know, they don't know where I live. I mean, they know I live in Dallas, but, you know, big deal. It's a big city. I kind of got the animals through Midnight Animal Supply.
Well, I don't know if I'm familiar with that. Is that a national retailer or?
No, that means I pulled up an 18-wheeler, popped the back end open at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and hit the Dallas and Fort Worth zoos.
You got your animals from the zoo?
Well, where am I going to get exotic animals from that I could put in the ark, John? I mean, come on. I mean, it's not like I'm sitting outside, you know, rocking my little chair, you know, writing scripts for the ATS Mix show and going, ah, there's a couple of camels. Hey, guys, come over here. No, I had to go out to the zoos and get them. Now, the downside is taking them back. You know, going and getting them was no big deal. But I'm having some really serious problems getting them back in the zoo undetected. And what I did is I came up with this ingenious plan. What I'm doing is I'm dressing them up in these little outfits and taking them and trying to get them in, as a child. And
you're trying to sneak animals in under a kid's fish stick.
There's a place that has animal clothes or us. And what I did is I went in there and I got like some little hats and some little shirts and stuff. Right. And the giraffes really look cute because I had them in kind of those little bow tie little things.
Right.
And I just go in and I say, you know, I need one senior and then I need, you know, two kids. And I try to take at least a couple of animals in a day. And it's not working, John. I'm really having some bad problems. In fact, I think they're on to me. And you know, the sad thing about it, John, is it was such a good idea. You know, I mean, I really had great intentions. You know, I really thought we were going to get flooded out here in Dallas.
And that you're going to be saving the world's animals and your family, too. You're going to restart and repopulate the world, for God's sakes.
And it was a noble cause. You know it was a noble cause. I even had a place for you, you know? I mean, I figured if
I
we
can
got
only
under-
imagine.
No, I had a place for you, uh-huh. You know, back there, you know, I had a little attendance, little section already built
sure.
for you.
Yeah, yeah, so Johnny, you go to the back of the bus.
No, you were in the front of the bus, but you had to go to the back of the bus to clean all the animal crap up that just piled up.
Of course.
Yeah, well, so anyway, it went south, man. I'm sorry. You know, yeah. It was a good idea.
Well, mm-hmm. Speaking of going south, I think probably this intro did too, so we should tell our members and listeners what is going to be on the show on this episode. And we've got, of course, some of thread discussions that we're going to be talking about.
And some good ones, too.
Great thread discussions. And then you and I talk a little bit about something that we happen to have noticed constantly. It doesn't matter any time that you go, you're standing in a line and you see yeah. something in the grocery store line.
Yeah, everybody's going to love this. This is a fun segment. You're going to guys love it.
That's a fun segment. And then.
Oh, my favorite part.
That's right. And we wrap it up then by going to a very special interview. And who is that interview with?
Can I tell them that not only is it an interview, but it's a brand new segment that yes. Johnny and I are going to start here on the ATS Mix at www.abovetopsecret.com, and it's called The Owner's Box.
Owner's Box!
Yeah, not to be confused with the cat litter box. Well, I don't know, maybe it can be the same. But here's the deal, members. We're going to, about every other week, only because they threatened to take away all our ATS points if we didn't.
Yeah,
we're gonna have each of the three owners of AboveTopSecret.com, which includes Bill, aka Skeptic Overlord, Mark, aka Springer, and Simon, aka
Simon.
Yeah, listen, hey, Simon, you got to come up with a better name, bro. I'm telling you, you Brits have got to get with the program. But anyway, Johnny and I are going to have a lot of fun about every other week. We're going to bring one of the amigos into the owner's box, and we're going to talk about things about the site that kind of gives the membership a better insight into how our site ticks.
Absolutely, and we're also going to kind of share some new stuff that's going to be coming up. That's kind of, it's a secret. It's a secret.
Top secret. It's very secret.
It's very secret. And in fact, we had a little bit of fun in the onset of doing this interview. I think Dave and maybe even Bill both, also known as Skeptic Overlord, must have thought that I was like on no doze or something.
I'm going to catch hell for this the rest of my life. You mark my words, this episode is going to go down in ATS Mix history. Because when we got through with this interview with Bill, a.k.a. Skeptic Overlord, my executive producer informed me...
That would be me.
He would like to at least be able to ask one question through the whole interview. And if y'all will listen to this interview and you pay attention closely, actually, John does try to jump in there about a half a dozen times that either I cut him off...
Or Skeptic Overlord cuts him off.
Skeptic Overlord cuts him off.
I couldn't win.
Yeah, I think out of about 37 questions, John asked him one. And what's really funny is you can sit there and you can hear John going, "Well, I'm just going to sit over here in the corner." And Bill goes, "Good." Anyway, this is a fun show. You guys are really going to love it, both part one and part two. So what do you say, John? Let's rock and roll?
Let's rock and roll!
Rock and roll!
Now, from the AboveTopSecret.com mobile headquarters team, currently broken down somewhere on Interstate 25 near El Paso, Texas, it's the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous.
You know, John, since we just got through doing the John Lear Marathon interview, and of course, one of the questions, if you'll recall, was We asked John Lear to discuss his relationship with Bob Lazar.
Yep.
And I found this article, and it just really kind of drew me into it. And the more I kind of started reading, and I got to say this sidebar, John, you know, we've really kind of rubbed off of each other, and we've gotten some good things from each other, and we've gotten some bad things. In fact, I'm taking medication now to get rid of one of the things I've got. But, you know, one of the things that have really rubbed off on me is that you've really got me really starting to where I'm starting to actually read this stuff.
Oh, well, golf clap.
Yeah, I know. Don't give me the clap. But anyway, you know, I tell you, you know, I really am starting to really get into the way of the mindset of the AboveTopSecret.com membership. And when they really get latch onto something, I mean, it's like a dog, you know, they're just not going to let go of that mother. And this is a very interesting article that I found. Lazar theory. What if Bob actually was working for the government? Now, this is in relationship to the Area 51 scenario that John Lear was talking about.
Right.
And I'm going to paraphrase this because this is a long thing. Again, it's by Ghost One. And the title, as I said, Lazar theory. What if Bob actually was working for the government? Now, before both sides jump on me, hear me out on this. Robert Scott Bob Lazar is the man who popped up in 1989 and claimed that he had worked on a secret flying disc at the S-4 base. The story became synonymous with Area 51. It was Lazar's efforts that helped shape public perception of Groom Lake and its secret projects. He made his big public appearance. The government went out of its way to discredit him. Now, it really doesn't matter what you think of Bob Lazar and his friends, in parentheses, John Lear. The fact remains that the story is, for better or worse, a part of the history that will be called Area 51. Now, one of the things he says is, why did the U.S. government allow Bob Lazar to make such a media sensation out of the top secret research facility at Groom Lake? Wouldn't publicizing the base be the absolute last thing wanted? And then in big bold letters, he says, maybe not. Now, this is where he starts going into this conspiracy thing. What if all of the UFO ET fanfare was used to hide the truth about something much more secret and much more dangerous? And then he gets down to the last of what he had to say. And he says, so while Bob and John, and he's referring to John Lear,
right,
were keeping the media occupied with UFOs at Area 51, the government was busy trying to sweep all traces of hazardous waste problems and whatever there was else is going on that was coming under public ridicule and criticism under the rug. And he says, the final irony is that the trick almost worked. So what do you think? Could Bob have unknowingly been a pawn in one of the biggest government cover-ups of all time? And then, of course, Ghost signs it, you know, he's signing it Tim. Now, there was a couple of responses. I mean, there's not a lot of responses on this. And I've really have found on the Area 51, you don't really have a ton of responses on a lot of these articles because they're so intellectual, you know. And, I mean, my God, who could jump on the bandwagon on this? I mean, you know, John Lear, for God's sake. I mean, I was sitting there, you know, petrified because, John was just blowing my mind with all this stuff. And it was really hard for me to process all this stuff. What's your take on all this?
Well, the original inquiry was, could Lazar possibly be
a puppet?
Being used by the government. And I have to say, I do not know. Sure, is it possible? Well, okay, yeah. We already know that from the interview with John Lear, that we know that Bob Lazar had already been injected when John Lear had suggested, hey, look, why don't you take your wedding ring off before they inject you with something or give you some pills to take and move it to the other hand, and then I'll know because I'll see that you've done this, and I'll know that they've given you something. Well, he said that they already had. So is it possible that he could be being used by the government? Well, sure, absolutely. Could you and I be being used by the government? You know, we don't know why, but
I don't think they want to use Dave. You know,
yeah. Who knows? It could happen, but not for what we're getting paid.
Really?
Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what the stance is. Here is one thing I will say about the Nellis Air Force Base and S1 through 4 and Area 51. I do know that many years ago when I did an interview with a former Air Force person who seemed to have some information, he did tell me that anything that you can think up or dream had already gone under an enormous amount of research and development. And right. I said, you mean anything? And he says, yes, anything that is released publicly by the government or by the military saying, oh, look, this is the new and improved. This is stealth and cloaking technology. This is the B-2 bomber. This is this. And this. He said that it had already been researched, developed, created, and proven up to 40 years prior.
Right.
So now that's kind of mind-boggling just in itself to think that certain technologies that we think we're just now receiving might have already existed up to 40 years ago or prior to whatever
right.
was released.
Right.
So it's a fascinating thread, and I would like to encourage our members to go there and read it.
And give us your opinions, you know. We'd love to hear what you have to think about, John's and my opinions about things, as long as they're positive. If they're negative, we don't want to hear it. I'm kidding.
ATS Mix. More thread discussion from AboveTopSecret.com.
Dave, have you ever had a chance to go look in the area known as education and media?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah. And I've said this before, but, you know, it is so large, the website, AboveTopSecret.com website, is so huge that even after all these number of months and years that I've been affiliated with them, I still find places I've never been before. And
yeah,
and I was kind of drawn to this area because it had a interesting thread called Physical Contact Banned in U.S. Schools. And it's by a member by the name of Nurbot. And if I recall correctly, Nurbot is from Europe. And he starts off with a CNN article. In fact, it's a quote from CNN that reads like this. A show of affection almost landed a teenage boy in detention. Hugging was 13-year-old Hal Ballou's crime when he sat next to his girlfriend at lunch a few months ago and put his arm around her shoulders. He was left off with a warning, but the cost of a repeat offense could be detention. A rule against physical contact at Kilmer Middle School, about 10 miles west of Washington, is so strict that students can be sent to the principal's office for hugging, holding hands, or even high-fiving one another. I think hugging is a good thing, said Hal, a seventh grader. I put my arm around her, and it was just like for 15 seconds. I don't think it was a big deal at all. Well, Nurbot posts after the article these thoughts. This is absolutely ridiculous, if you ask me. What happens when it's time for physical education or drama classes? I bet the rules get changed there. American football would be dumb if there was no physical contact. How are these children going to grow up? How are they going to find the outside world when it grabs them by the shorts and the curlies? Physical contact is all a part of getting on in life, whether it's good or bad contact. Whether being able to experience these things in the school environment, not just outside it, with people of their own age, it's just going to breed frustration, guilt, resentment. Big brother gets everywhere. Personal space is personal space. Nobody should tell you what to do with it. They've got enough to deal with regarding uniforms, timekeeping, hairstyles, jewelry, etc., etc., etc. And if they're going to fight or canoodle, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know what canoodle means, they're going to do it inside or outside the school regardless. Rage and passion are pretty uncontrollable at their age. Condition them young, eh? Well, there were some members that decided to respond to this.
Yeah, I read some of them.
Yeah, and speaking of members responding, if anybody knows what a canoodle is, could you let Dave and I know?
Anyway, I know what a canoodle is.
All right, what is a canoodle?
Well, it's attached to your doodle.
A member from the Netherlands named Mammoth responded by saying, it's all about taking things way too seriously, and adults sure know how to do that. These days, silly little things like that are looked upon with frowning eyes. Those people immediately getting an impression that holding hands, or an example described as above, is an act of sexuality or intimidation. Yeah.
You know what?
Well, I gotta jump in here because I think this is such bull crap. I can't stand it. You know, Earth 2 is a perfect example of why. In location deep in the rabbit hole. I never saw you, Earth 2, so get out of my rabbit hole. But this is what Earth 2 says. I'm glad, hooray. I send my kids to school to learn, not touch. I don't want nobody touching my kids, and I don't want my kids touching nobody. And that goes for the teachers also. Don't touch my kids. Let's focus on finding some good teachers now so our kids have a better chance in life. They should have physical contact as they grow up, good or bad, but wait until school's out, please. Well, I'm sorry, Earth 2. I disagree with you, and I want to tell you why. You know, I grew up in the 60s, and maybe the year in 2007 and whatever is a different world and whatever, and I understand there's all kinds of creeps and jerks and whatever, but some of the most fun of being a kid in junior high school, and which is middle school or high school, was being able to have a young lady if you're a male or a young man if you're a female and be able to hold their hand and experience what it is to be a young kid in love. So all you people out there that goes, well, I don't want my kid touching anybody until they're getting ready to get married. Sorry. You get a thumbs down from the Dave-a-roo.
ADS Mix.
Yeah, listen up.
From above, top secret.
Jesus Christ.
.com.
Dave, do you do a lot of shopping?
I do a tremendous amount of shopping.
Do you really?
Yeah, but you know, but I'm a hunter, not a scavenger. There's a difference. You know?
I see. Well, who does more grocery shopping, you or your wife, Bunny?
Bunny hops around the grocery store, and she loves doing the shopping. But I go there occasionally. Yeah, you know.
Well, I had to go do some shopping the other day, and I got my milk, bread, butter, and eggs and stuff. And I'm standing in a line, and of course, I'm behind a little gray-haired with blue streaks, about 95 years old, with a walker, and she's got to count out exact change with the pennies and everything, you know, to pay the cashier. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here for a week all day. So I look to the left, and of course, they've always got these aisles filled with impulse buy items. You got your gum, you got lipstick, whatever. And then, of course, you got your tabloid news. And I'm looking there, and it's like a magnet. You know that whatever you're going to be reading in here is crap. I am the love child of Tiny Tim and an alien. And I know that, you know, our members here at AboveTopSecret.com would never, never look at one of these tabloids because our motto is...
Deny ignorance.
Deny ignorance. So I thought, you know, what if? What if?
Just, we didn't deny ignorance.
We didn't deny ignorance. What if we maybe embraced ignorance just for a little while? I think we should provide some ignorance just as a community service. It might go something like this.
Okay, I'm ready.
While others deny ignorance, we embrace it by scouring the world for all the news not fit to be reported. And now, from the International News Desk headquarters, broadcasting semi-alive, it's the BS News and Reports with investigative reporters Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous.
From Washington, D.C., former Vice President Al Gore has been endorsed for president by... Mother Nature herself. Al Gore will be our next president if I have anything to say about it, Mother Nature told more than any other non-candidate. Mr. Gore has shown that he has the planet's best interest at heart. I mean, who else could take a PowerPoint presentation and turn it into an Academy Award-winning film about global warming? I backed Gore in the year 2000, and we all know what happened then, Mother Nature said. I'm not making any threats, but need I remind Florida at the onset of hurricane season, it's not wise to fool with Mother Nature twice. Dave?
Dateline Beijing, China. A judge in Luwan County, China, became so enraged over recent food contamination scandals that he decided to make an example of one of the convicted co-conspirators. Qing Meng Hua must suffer deprivation and public humiliation for his crime, declared Judge Lo Wang. I hereby order that all of his personal possessions be sold at auction. That auction, he further directed, must be broadcast by the local community television station as an example to others who might be inclined to cheat their fellow citizens. Police brought cameras and a sexy hostess to the convicted man's home where, on Who Wants to Lose Face, they auctioned appliances, computers, clothing, furniture, and the TV viewers responded with brisk bidding, contributing to the equivalent of $50,000 to a fund to buy food for poor provincial families. The only thing they didn't auction was his childhood panda bear, a production manager informed Weekly World News. He was allowed to keep that for a consolation prize. Who's going to believe that?
I'll tell you who will believe that. Possibly some of our friends from Detroit, Michigan, the Great Lakes Psychiatric Asylum, to be exact, because it's unique in that one-third of its inmates are homosexuals. It is the only such institution where patients are given the option of wearing white straitjackets or, yes, the rainbow gay jackets.
Oh, I've got a good one. Okay. This is called Horse Sense by Lester the Typing Horse. Now, it's got a picture of this horse with a stethoscope on the horse's head and the little doctor earphones around it. And this is called Horse Sense. Once a sideshow attraction, now the nation's leading wellness expert. Okay. Dear Mr. Horse, what causes eating disorders such as anorexia and bulimia? Are some girls so desperate to be thin? Signed, Kelly Salo from Los Angeles, California. Dr. Horse responds, Dear Kelly, these are very, very serious matters. Bulimia and anorexia are often psychological in nature and are less about food than they are about gaining control. According to psychologists, childhood feelings of being overwhelmed or powerless can create a desire to maintain control of some aspects of your life, such as body weight. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you can't get enough hay, you're never going to get it cycled through to become fertilizer. John?
From Danbury, Connecticut, after seeing a TV program which calculated that people sleep for a third of their lives, 12-year-old Sean Douglas decided to get all his sleep out of the way all at once. And at the same time, skip those difficult teenage years. However, after tying up loose ends and giving a teary farewell to his amused parents, Douglas was only able to sleep for about 12 hours. Upon waking, he was furious to discover that he still had a 9-year-old brother to whom he had to give all his toys to.
What I love about that story is I got a picture of this kid with a cobweb on him.
The spider web.
Yes, spider web. Okay, this is the last one. This is also People Are Strange. Dateline, Los Angeles, California. The Fit as a Fiddle Health Spa actually built a freezer room to complement the use of the sauna. Steam rooms are good for ridding the body of toxins, said spa manager Hank Rory, but intense cold is great for strengthening the metabolism. Guests of our spa can count on getting a warm and chilly reception. And then they got a picture of this real hot chick sitting in a spa, or like a sauna room, but they've got icicles hanging off of her. Who's going to believe this stuff? And that concludes our trip and see what's in the supermarket tabloids of today. I'm Dave Rabbit.
And I'm Johnny Anonymous.
And until next time,
may the BS be with you.
P-A-T-S Mix.
Yeah, listen up.
From above, top secret.
Jesus Christ!
.com. To listen to the featured interview, go to part 2. And thanks for listening to the ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.